The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive property industry. We are looking at the ethics, professionalism, and transparency side of the industry on this episode. It may seem a bit academic or technical, but it's an important part of the industry. The UK-based Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors, or RICS, is a global professional body for those working in the built environment, construction, land, property and real estate sectors. It was founded way back in 1868, I believe. On the show, we are speaking to a familiar name in our local property industry, TC Chetty, who's the head of partner development and public affairs at RICS in South Africa. TC is a former president of the SA Property Owners Association. Quite a while back in the mid-2000s, when he was working at Moreland, for people who have a long memory, Moreland used to be the property development arm of Tongaat Ulett that was listed on the JSE, the development arm of Tongaat Ulett, and that was in the heydays. TC has a master's in town and regional planning from the University of KwaZulu-Natal and has been at RICS for several years now. He's also been on a few company boards and I believe still on JSE-listed Fortress RIT. Welcome to the Property Board, TC.
Suren, thank you very much. Always nice to chat with you.
Yeah, it's been a while. Looking forward to the conversation. To kick off, TC, can you give us some insights into RICS, its history? What does it actually do? As I mentioned, it is a global body and is represented in several regions.
Yes, thanks, Suren. Obviously, as you've mentioned, the RICS is not new. We've been going now since 1868, so some 156 years, and we've been growing a market presence across all world regions. Our global presence is growing, I think, sitting currently at around 134,000 qualified and trained professionals or trainee professionals globally. So a very well expanded body around the globe, well respected, one of the world's leading professional bodies. Historically, surveyors used to refer to quantity surveyors and valuers predominantly, or building measurement people, mainly in the UK. And we in South Africa, I think, had difficulty in understanding that term. But that has all changed now, and to a point where the membership has widened, where now our members come from almost all of the built environment professions and associated professions, including architects, engineers, bankers, ecologists, town planners, and the like. All of these people, technology has changed, to the extent where even valuations are done by flying drones through buildings, virtual reality models of buildings, using big data. So the professions are changing all the time. And I think an organization like ours really ensures that our professionals remain on the forefront of that.
Thanks for that. PropTech is a big part of the industry, but that's not what we're talking about today. But before we continue, what is your role at RICS in South Africa?
You've touched on it earlier. Officially, I'm the Partner Development and Public Affairs Manager for the RICS in South Africa. But generally, you could read Country Manager for that role. And that really entails increasing brand awareness of the organization in South Africa, engaging with various professional bodies in the country, lobbying government around issues of professionalism and standards, engaging with tertiary education institutions in the country. And that's one of our big roles in order to make students more aware of particularly those coming into the built environment about their responsibilities and to ensure the future of the professions going forward.
You mentioned the number of professionals globally that have some sort of certification from RICS. I said RICS earlier, but I suppose RICS is how it's mentioned by people like yourselves. But in South Africa, how many people are actually linked to RICS in terms of these certifications? Do you have an idea?
We in South Africa at the moment, we have roughly 1,500 members. It fluctuates a little bit from time to time because some of our people go and work depending on where their firms move them. So some move temporarily to the Middle East or back to the UK and come back here. So their membership changes, but on average about 1,500 overall. With Sub-Saharan Africa having about another 1,000, so 2,500 in Sub-Saharan Africa. And they recognize by the various statutory bodies in the country. We're recognized here as a voluntary association. A large majority of our members in South Africa work in the construction side of things, mainly QSing, although we have quite a few in valuations, and we're seeing more and more an increase in our membership in the real estate and facilities management professions. So, we're fairly well spread. We have three different types of membership. This is globally, not just South Africa, where you can become an associate member of RICS, where you might not necessarily have all of the degree qualifications and that, but you have some experience and a certain level of experience. Or you can become a member, which is our most popular, a standard member, and then fellowship, where you have to have achieved certain things in the industry in order to become a fellow of the RICS.
Onto the topic at heart for this podcast, why are ethics, professionalism and transparency, and I could even add training to that in terms of the property sector, why is that so important in your view?
Suren, it was a lot easier a while back. You know, a few decades ago, it was possible pretty much for each jurisdiction or country or region to have their own standards and ways of doing things. But with globalization and the way the world operates these days, market efficiency requires much more market consistency, transparency, and particularly comparability, given multi-locational firms and entities. And international standards, we believe, are the backbone of this approach. You know, it's imperative that everybody's speaking the same language. I mean, if you take an analogy of football, for example, you know, football is played around the world. And if everybody was playing the game under different rules, it would just be impossible. And that's the way we like to see the built environment sector, is everybody playing by the same rules. And what we as RICS do is we collaborate to set global standards. We train, and you talked about training, we train professionals to those standards and then hold them accountable to those standards. And that includes enforcement, which we believe in many professional bodies is lacking, is that element of enforcement. And we do that really to protect the public interest and to provide a sound platform for that transparency that I mentioned, and for therefore sound decision-making in business. And I mean, ethics is an integral part of that. It really is what drives trust in our professions and drives confidence. But it's more than that. It's about respect and responsibility. You need to respect the people that you work with, and you need to accept accountability and responsibility for what you do. So it really is about protecting our members, protecting clients, and protecting the public. And in this day and age, with corruption and with more and more legislation coming on around that and money laundering and around the regulations like IFRS or the valuation standards, I think all of this ties in to a common understanding of what we need to achieve and the rules we need to play by.
You piqued my interest a little bit there when you talked about enforcement. What do you mean enforcement within the context of you mentioning earlier that RICS is a voluntary body in South Africa?
So, I mean, globally, anybody that becomes a member of RICS is held accountable to certain standards. So irrespective of whether you're a member of any other professional body globally or in South Africa, if you're a member of RICS and if you carry out work, or if you're engaged as a professional, and if somebody complains, we have a process whereby the complaint is investigated, and if you are found to have contravened either the ethical standards or the standards of your conduct, for whatever reason or in whatever form, then you are held accountable. There are penalties. You can be dismissed as a member, or there may be ways to that you have to make reparations. But there is enforcement to a point where we ensure that these are not common activities, certainly among our membership. So we rarely, if ever, have to end up enforcing the standards by virtue of the importance people place on our membership.
Thanks for that insight, TC. Just for a little bit more detail on yourself, is your RICS role your core focus? Are you involved in anything else in the industry? I did mention some of your board roles earlier.
I love what I do. And being in the property sector for me, I mean, I've been in it now for over 30 odd years, and I still have a passion for what I do. So I'm very fortunate, and I learn new things every day. So apart from the RICS role, I remain involved in the industry in a consultancy role. So I consult in development broadly, especially where problems need to be resolved. I seem to have developed a niche for that. You mentioned I do sit on the board of Fortress and some of their committees. And generally, I like to get involved in the sector with students, speaking to students and sharing experiences, and generally to be a mentor to particularly younger people in the industry, to share some of my passion and, you know, to help other people learn new things.
I suppose that's why you're in the RICS role as well. TC, a bit of a joke here, but I can't let you go without asking you this, because people in the industry for a while will know that TC Chetty was at Tongaat Ulet back in its heydays, one would argue. But considering the fact that you were involved with Tongaat Ulet's old Moorland division in its heyday, as I mentioned, I'm not sure if you were there when it changed its name from Moorland to Tongaat Ulet Developments, but you must be one of those who are sad to see what's come of the company with Tongaat Ulet Developments not really operating currently in the context of the broader group being in business rescue. Can you, however, share some thoughts generally regarding the land development division? And was done around Umhlanga and the North Coast, for example, during your time? Because what's happened at Tongaat is over the last 10 years, people tend to forget its role in what has happened pretty much on the northern parts of Durban. Obviously, as I mentioned, the group hit this whole accounting scandal around 2018-19, and you weren't in the company for years before that. So I'd like to get some insight from you on that before I let you go.
Siren, yeah, I mean, you know, I left there in 2008. So, I mean, 16 years ago now seems not that long ago. But you're quite right. I mean, it's more than sad what has happened to the company. I think it's quite tragic, really, what has happened to once proud brand, you know, not just for KZN, but for the country as a whole. Especially sad for me from the property side with what we achieved as a team, and we built that brand over the years, where, again, it comes back to what we spoke about earlier, where the brand of Tongaat in those days, not just as a group, but and Moorland beyond. And it did change to sort of Tongaat Ulet Properties and Tongaat Ulet Developments when I was still there for a year or two. But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to the whole issues around standards and ethics, and people had trust in the organization in those days. You know, if you bought a property from Tongaat, you knew what was coming up next to you, and you knew what was coming up around you. Tongaat delivered on what it promised, basically. And somewhere along the line, you know, it's difficult to pinpoint exactly what happened. And I think the ethos changed, the philosophy changed somewhere along the line. And I mean, one can't also, you know, ignore the fact that there were clearly some significant governance failures, both at a properties board level or a development board level and at a group board level. And you know, it's resulted now in a situation where the property side of the business is completely changed to you know, not the level of detail and the level of passion that went into creating places like Zimbali and Mount Edgecombe, or the work we did around the North Coast, creating the Umhlanga Town Center, Lalushya Ridge Office Estate, all of those, you know, they're flagships. You know, people talk about new urbanism and they see Melrose Arch as this fabulous development. You know, the fact of the matter is we were doing that kind of thing long before they thought about it, and they learned from places like, you know, from the Newtown Center with the super basements and those kinds of things. And now we have a company that that from a land perspective is looking to just sell out as much land as possible without really doing much to it. Or lease it to other people. And it doesn't have the same control, the same integrity. You know, people who come in now and buy and develop that land, one, can't. And secondly, probably don't want to give confidence about what's coming up around them or what's going to be done in the future, the level of service, you know, that you were assured of with Tongaat. So It's sad. You know, I still talk to some of my colleagues from the old days at Tongaat, and we all agree, you know, that it's a waste of a lot of hard work. It's sad, and personally, it was sad for me to see what happened to so many of the people that I worked with that were still there, that in the end, you know, ended up having to leave, you know, as the business went into business rescue. So it's really very difficult, you know, to comprehend. And I hope that, you know, the broader group can survive. Seems to be heading in that direction. So fingers crossed. But, you know, from the property side, you know, don't know what will become of that at this stage. Seemingly, the intention is not really to look at going back into the development side of things. And it really is tragic.
Indeed. Thanks for that insight. It's very valuable insight because I absolutely agree with you. Being formerly from KZN, I know the area well. And if you go around Umhlanga and Gateway, that's a walkable city. You know, people think about the likes of Waterfall in Johannesburg and others. But Umhlanga is quite a broad area of urbanism, as you said. TC, before I let you go, one last question. Is there any highlights just in terms of your work at RICS coming up that you'd like to share before we conclude?
Yeah, two items. The one is some work we've been doing at the moment. You know, the whole issue around sustainability is very, very key at a global level these days. And one of the things that we've developed as the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors recently is a whole life carbon assessment tool, which really was created to provide a better and further understanding and accuracy regarding carbon costs and benefits of design choices in the construction and infrastructure projects that are happening. And at the moment, it's one of the few standards at that level in the world. And, you know, we'll be promoting that. So that was launched literally earlier this year. And we'll be running a whole series of workshops just to make people more aware of that. And it's already starting to be adopted at a global level. So, you know, that will come with tools and that. And then one of the key things that we're working on in partnership with the Women's Property Network coming up is our Africa Summit. The last time this was held was before COVID in 2019. So we're very keen to get that up and running again. And that will be held in Sandton on the 19th of June at the Sandton Convention Center this year. So we're really excited and looking forward to that. The theme is diversity, innovation, and sustainability. So we'll be touching on all of those key issues that affect us in those themes broadly. So quite exciting, and we look forward to it happening.
TC, I appreciate your time on this episode of the Property Pod. That was TC Chetty, Partner for Development and Public Affairs at the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in South Africa.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.